Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Samach. We left off on Daf Nun Tazen Beis. We're going to backtrack a little bit to Tanur Rabbanan because it makes, that's a good starting point, about six lines from the end of the page. We're going to backtrack to that because the Gemara is going to discuss that Brisa. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Today we're going to talk about what happens if a Kohen Gadol marries somebody that he should not have married. So is he allowed to stay married to the person that he should not have married? Are the children going to be halalim? Maybe there's a difference between Isurei Los Haseh and Isurei Aseh. The Gemara is going to talk about who a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be metame to. We're going to do a lot of darshaning of Psukim at the beginning of Parshas Amor, which is a Daf Yomi coincidence for people from Israel, and since Rabbi Tal is with us, it's Daf Yomi coincidence, I guess. So that's a lot of discussion of those inyanim of being metame to Krovim, and whether a Kohen is allowed to marry a Gioras that's Pchusum Ibas Gimel Shan V'Yomecha. Typically, Kohen's not allowed to marry a Gioras. The assumption is she's already been Nivelas, but if she was in Niskaira when she was less than 3 years old and one day, so the assumption is that there's no Maisa Bia. So the question is, can a Kohen marry such a Gioras? And then the Gemara is going to discuss some of the details of how they would test for that. How would they test if a woman was a Basula or a Ba'ula, that there was an actual physical test that they would do to be able to verify if a woman was a Basula or a Ba'ula. So we're going to pick up again six lines from the end of the page on Daf Nun Tes and Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. So the Brisa says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, Anusas Atzmo, Mufutas Atzmo Lo Yisa. If a Kohen Gadol was Rachmana Litzlan, Ma'anes a woman, he was Mefata a woman, so he cannot marry that woman. The Pasuk says, Ki Im Basula Me'am Avika, he has to marry someone who's a basula at the time of the nisuin, and this woman is not. It's his fault that she's not, but she is not a basula. And im nasav, im nasav, if he does marry her, nasoi, so they are married. Anusas chavero, mafutas chavero, if someone else was Rachman al-San, ma'anes the woman or mafata the woman, so then lo yisa, he's also not allowed to marry her, because again, the same reason, she is not a basula anymore, but v'im nasa, but if he does marry her, he has to divorce her, and the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer have lad chalal. Not only that, any children that they have, since the child is going to be born from Psula Kuna, is going to become a chalal. He's not going to be a kohen. The Chum Mamma Vlad Kasha. The Chum say that no, the Vlad is not a chalal when the Kohen Gadol marries a woman who is not a Basula, even though he has to divorce her. They're not allowed to stay married. So the Gemara explains what it says in the Brisa. Now im nasa nasu. We said if he marries anusas mufutas atzmo, someone who's not a basula, but it's his own fault that she's not a basula, they are married. What does that mean? Amrav unamrav, umosi beget. Meaning, yeah, they're married, but he has to divorce her right away. He's not allowed to stay married to her. So it says, well, yeah, but then what are we saying? When you said imnasa nasli, legabe what? Meaning, I know that chayavi lavin or chayavi asay, that there's going to be a tfisas kiddushin, that's not such a great chiddush. So what's imnasa nasli? What does that mean? So Amrav Achabar Yaakov, Lomar Shem Shan Knas B'Mefuta. What it means to say is that if the Kohen Gadol marries the woman that he himself was Mefata, he doesn't have to pay the Knas that normally one has to pay for being Mefata, a woman, for seducing a woman. Only a Mefata that he doesn't marry, you have to pay the Knas. But once you marry her, you don't have to pay the Knas. Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk in the Torah, right? Pasuk says, in Ma'in Yima'in Avia L'sita Lo, Kesev Yishkol Kumar Besulos. If the father doesn't give her over as a wife to him, then Kesev Yishkol Kumar Besulos, then you pay the Knas. So it sounds like if he does marry her, he's potter from the Knas. Tosus raises the question, in Shayna Mishan Knas Mufutavim Tomar, the Kivin to buy a get, Visuksuba Kumar Almana, the Kohen Gadol, the Yeshuksuba, Katarmin, the Yesh Mutarus, Aval Gavda Asurim and Atarim, Kain Mainaf Kamina Mishan Knas, Hari Yeshuksuba. Mali Knas, Mali Ksuba. So it's going to be the same amount of money anyway, because if he marries her and he divorces her, he's going to have to pay a Ksuba. So what difference does it make whether he's paying the money as Knas for being Mefata to her or paying the Ksuba? It's Kesev Yishkol Kimor Abasulos. It's the same amount of money that the Knas is the same amount of money as the Ksuba is. So Tos says the Nafkamina is if she's Mochal Ksuba, that even so he's going to be Chayiv Machmas the Knas. If she's Mochal Ksuba, he would have to pay the knas. So that's what it means. That he's not mefalim mishalim knas if it's mefutas atzmo. That's what nasa nasui means. So Azul Rav Gavia mi Beik Seal. Rav Gavia mi Beik Seal went Amr L'Shmaita Kamed Ravashi, and he said over this dinner of Rav Huna that he has to be motzir with a get, that even though Nasa Nasa Yana Mufutas Atzmo, he has to divorce her. So he said that to Ravashi. Samalei Ravashi said to Rav Gavia, for Rav Yochanan, Dami Tarvayu, Rav and Rav Yochanan both say Bogeres Umukas Eitz Lo Yisa, that a woman who's a Bogeres, meaning she's more than 12 and a half years old, or a Mukas Eitz, who lost her Basulim through some sort of an accident, but not through an actual Maisabia, Lo Yisa, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her because she is not a Basula, but Vim Nasa, but if he does marry her, Nasui, he does not have to divorce her. Sa'am, it sounds like the reason that it's Nasa Nasui, even though she's also the Chachila to marry him, is because Sofa Leos Bogeres Tachta, because anyway, she's going to become a Bogeres while he's married to her, Sofa Leos Mukaseitz Tachta, or anyway, she's going to become a Mukaseitz, meaning she's going to lose her Basulim anyway while she's married to him, meaning anything that she has right now that's going to be that's going to happen to her at some point during the marriage is no reason to end the marriage, because it's going to happen to her anyway. Kohen Gadol's going to marry her maybe when she's very young, but young people get older, so she's going to become a Bogeres anyway. If she was a Mukaseitz, it doesn't mean she's going to have an accident when she's married to him, but she's going to lose her Basulim, not Al Yedei Bias Nus, not Al Yedei somebody else, some Bia with some other man, so she's going to be a Mukaseitz Tzachtov. So Hachanami, why don't we say the same svar over here by a Kohen Gadol who marries Anusas Mufutas Atzmo? Why does he have to divorce her? Sofalios Bu'ula Tachtov. What's her chisaron? Is that she's a Bu'ula? She's going to become a Bu'ula during the marriage as well, and shouldn't that be a svara not to divorce her? So Kasha, so it's a Kasha from Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where it seems that he does not have to divorce her. Just like Rav and Rabbi Yochanan said, by a Bogeres and Mukas 8, he doesn't have to divorce her. The same exact svara should apply when he marries Anusas Atzmo, Mufutas Atzmo, that he does not have to divorce her. And the Gemara leaves it as a Kasha. So the Rashba points out, from the fact that the Gemara does not leave it as a Tiyufta, it leaves it as a Kasha, that tells you that the Halacha really is like Rav Huna, that even though Rav Huna was left off as a Kasha, if we really wanted to reject Rav Huna, we would have left it off as a Tiyufta. And the Rif, in fact, paskins like Rav Huna. The Aruch Lener raises the question, why Taka isn't in a Tiyufta? It seems like a pretty strong question, that why would a Bogeres Mukaseitz be any different? Bogeres Mukaseitz, since she's Sofa Leos Tachtav, she's going to be all of those things anyway, he does not have to divorce her, so why Taka don't we say the same thing by Anusas Atzmo, Mufutas Atzmo, that she's going to be Sofa Leos Tachtav? So the Aruch Lener suggests that there's makom to be mechalik between a Bogeres and a Mukaseitz on the one hand, and Anusas Mufutas Atzmo on the other hand. By Bogeres Mukaseitz, it could be that the Yisr is only midrabanan to a Kohen Gadol, so the fact that she's going to Sofa Leos Bogeres and Sofa Leos Mukaseitz, that would make it, since the whole thing is only going to be drabanan anyway, in combination with the fact that the whole list is drabanan, plus the fact that she's Sofa Leos Tachtav, that if he marries her, he's not going to have to divorce her. But Bulas Atzma, where it's an Isra Midaraisa, Sofa Leos Tachtav alone is not a svara to be matir b'di'evet, and to say that he does not have to divorce her. Other achronim give the same teretz, the Keren Ora and others. So now the Braisa had said, but what if it was not Anusas Mufutas Atzmo, Anusas Chavero, Mufutas Chavero, Lo Yisa, someone else is Ma'anes and Mefata to the woman, he's not allowed to marry her. V'im Nasa, and if he did, Rav Loz ben Yaakov Amar Vlad Chalal, V'cham Amar Vlad Kasher. So Rav Loz ben Yaakov will say the Vlad is therefore a Chalal, whereas the Cham say, no, the Vlad is going to be Kasher. So Amar Rav Huna Merab, Halacha, Rav Loz ben Yaakov. The Halacha is that the Vlad is a Chalal, like Rav Loz ben Yaakov said, which is not surprising. Mishnah Rav Loz ben Yaakov is Kav V'naki. We always pass like Rav Loz ben Yaakov. V'chein Amar Gidol Amarav, Halacha, Rav Loz ben Yaakov, that the Vlad is in fact a Chalal. Ikda Amri, some say that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, not that Allah is like Rav Loz ben Yaakov. Amar Rav Huna Amarav, my time with Rav Loz ben Yaakov. He tried to explain why is it that Rav Loz ben Yaakov holds that a Vlad that is born from a Kohen Gadol who marries Anusas Chavero, Mefutas Chavero, why does Rav Loz ben Yaakov think the Vlad is a Chalol? Because Savala Karbilazar, he's paskening like a Braisa that we're going to have in tomorrow's daf, that Reb Lazar holds a panoy abal panuya, that if a single guy and a single girl have bia together, shalo l'shem ishus, just l'shem znus, that makes her a zona. And since she's a zona, it's a losase. Isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu. And anyone who's born from a losase relating to kuhuna is a chalal. So why does Reb Lazar ben Yaakov hold that in this case, anusas chaveru, mufutas chaveru is a chalal? Because if she was anusas mufutas chaveru, that's panoy abal panuya. And therefore she's already a zona. And if she's a zona, that's going to the Kohen Gadol's not allowed to marry her, that's going to create chalal. But is that true? Rav Lazar ben Yaakov paskens like Rav Lazar that panay abal pniyah makes her a zona. Va'kaimelan mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov kavenaki. We say that mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov kavenaki, that whenever Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says something, we pasken like him because he speaks very rarely, and whenever he speaks, he's spot on. He's always exactly correct. There are some tanaim and amoraim that speak very rarely, whose names come up not so often in Shas. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov is not that infrequent, but infrequent enough, right? And then there are others that come up on every daf, right? You probably can't turn three pages in Shas without finding Abaye and Rava, right? There are certain Rav and Shmuel. So v'ilu baha, whereas in this din of panoy abal panuya, where it's shalol shemishos, amrav ein halacha k'Rav Lazar. We say that we don't paskin like Rav Lazar, so you can't say that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov's shita is based on Rav Lazar if we paskin like Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, but we don't paskin like Rav Lazar. So kasha, so it's taka difficult on Rav Huna, who said that the basis of Rav Lazar ben Yaakov is Rav Lazar, if after all we don't paskin like Rav Lazar, even though we do paskin like Rav Lazar ben Yaakov. Now this is interesting that we're applying the principle of Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov kavinaki over here. The Merav Ranchburg points out that it's a raya from here that when we say Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov kavinaki is that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov over here is a brisa and not a mishnah. And nevertheless, the Gemara says Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov kavinaki. There's a machlokas rishonim. When we say Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, how meduyak is that statement? Is it Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, or any time he speaks in some sort of literature of Tanaim, which would be a Braisa as well? Over here it's a Braisa, it is not a Mishnah. So the Rav Ranchburg says this is a kasha on those who say that it's only Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, and he says that you have to say it's a Machlokas HaSugyas, because there are other Gemaras that make it very clear that the Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayinim Beis says in order not to ask a Stira, Hilchasa, Abaye and Rava established that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov and the Braisa is going like their Shita, they hold the halacha is, in order that it shouldn't be a stira between what he says somewhere else and their Shita. So you see that in the Braisa also the halacha is like him, whereas the Sugi over here, it's Vesayim Bekasha, says it's a Lashon of Kushya, it's not a Lashon of Tiyufta, it's a Lashon of a Dechia, because this Braisa, we don't necessarily have to pass on like this Braisa, meaning he uses this Gemara in the end as a raya in the opposite direction. Yes, we're saying that Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki with regard to a Braisa, but we don't use that as a basis of a Tiyufta. That can only bring us to Kasha. It can't get us to Tiyufta. Why does it not get us to Tiyufta? Because we don't really paskin that Mishnas Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki on a Braisa, so that would be the simple answer, that we don't paskin like this Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, because it's only a Braisa. So this actually teaches you the opposite, that we only say by a Mishnah that Mishnah Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. So the Gemara brings another way to explain the Machlokas and the Braisa. Rav Ashi Amar, that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov does not hold like Rav Lazar. He holds Panei Abal Pnuya is not a Zona. So Kohen Gadol, who's Boel, Anusas or Mefutas Chavero, is not in violation of Zona. He's simply in violation of an Isser essay. The Torah says, Ki'im Besula Me'ama V'Kachisha, that in a positive way, he has to marry a Besula. So the fact that he has to marry a Besula means he can't marry a Be'ula, but it's not a Los essay, it's a Mitzvah's essay. So B'yesh Chol, V'chev Yasei K'v'fli. You want to know what the Machlokas is between Rav Lazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan? Is there chalalus when you violate a mitzvah's essay? That Rav Lazar ben Yaakov savar yesh chalal mechayav essay. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says yes, that is enough to make a person a chalal. Rabbanan savar yein chalal mechayav essay. The Rabbanan will say no, that is not enough to make a person a chalal. Only a violation of a los essay relating to kuhuna is going to make the child a chalal. My time is Rav Lazar ben Yaakov. Why does Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, if that's the explanation of Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, why does Rav Lazar ben Yaakov hold that violation of a mitzvah's essay is enough to make the child the chalal tichsiv? Because the pasuk says, Almana ugrusha v'chalala zona es eila lo yikach ki im besula. Pasuk says again in Parshas Emor that he's not allowed to marry an almana grusha chalala zona, but he's only allowed to marry a besula. Meima v'kachish. The pasuk continues. Uksiv v'lo yichal zara be'amav. And then right away afterwards, the very next pasuk it says v'lo yichal zara be'amav ki anei Hashem. So Rav Lozer ben Yaakov holds that the pasuk below Yichalol that it says that the vod becomes a chalol akulhu is going on all of the things that we mentioned, even on what it says at the beginning that he should marry a basula and not a ba'ula, which is only in Isra'asay, that even when you violate that, it's v'lo yichal zaru ba'amav. The consequences of marrying a woman who's not a basula is that it's going to be mechalal zaru ba'amav. For Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon hold that the pasuk v'lo yichal zaru is not going back on the very beginning of the parsha, that even someone who violates that it's not going back on even someone who violates yasei of kiyum besul me'ama v'kachisha. It's only going on the beginning of that pasuk of almana, grusha, chalala, zona, all those lo saseis, all those lo yikachs. So eila hivsika inyan, because the word eila in the pasuk breaks up the two parts of the pasuk, that it's telling me that there's a chiluk between the two parts of the pasuk, that only those who are born from eila, those that are listed earlier in the pasuk, meaning an almana, a grusha, a chalala, a zona, all the lo saseis, that's where you have chalolos. But those who are born from a bu'ula, where it's only a violation of an asay of kiyum besul me'am of yikachisha, that does not become a chalol. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov omer eila lemutenida, that eila is not hifsek inyan, it's not dividing the pasuk into two parts and saying that no, only the lo saseis make a chalol and not the asay. Eila is telling me something else. It's coming to be memai to kohen who's bo'ul his wife when she's a nida, that the vlad from a nida is not going to be a chalol. That would be very difficult to track. If we had that a vlad from a nida is not going to be, if a kohen is bo'ul's wife and she's a nida, that it's not going to create chalolos. So keman ozla hadatanya, who does this brisa hold like when it says when it darshens the word eila? Because the brisa says me'ela ata osachalol v'ata osachol minida. The brisa actually explicitly darshens the word eila and it says yes, it's only from these that we list in the pasuk that create chalolos, but nida does not create chalolos. Come on, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that is exactly the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that all of the surim, the lavim, and the asay of kiyum besul me'amav yikach all create chalalos, but nida does not create chalalos. I asked the Gemara of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who disagrees with Rabbanan and holds the word eila is not there to be mechalik, the pasuk, not to distinguish the los aseis from the asay in the pasuk. It's only coming to be mema'it, someone who's boel, a kohen is boel in nida, that the child is not going to be a chalal. So why does the Torah say eila in the middle of the pasuk? Nichtve leila basof. Why? Meaning it sounds from the placement of the word eila that it's coming to divide the pasuk, because it's in between where we talk about the zona, the almana grusha chalala and zona, versus when we talk about besula. So it makes sense that it's hifsika inyan. But if it's only coming to be mema'it to nida, a totally separate topic, to be mema'it and nida, why don't we just put it at the end of the pasuk? So kasha, so that taka is a difficulty. And Rav Ashi, who says that the machlokes of Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan is about how to darshan these psukim. So the Amshul Shlomo is mitaritz the kasha. Again, the yisod is, whenever it's a kasha and it's not a tiyufta, it means that there's some sort of answer. So the Amshul Shlomo says that based on the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrobiyah, Perek Yud Zayin, you can answer very simply. The Rambam holds that the vlad is only that the vlad does not become a chalal from a bu'ula unless he married her. The vlad only becomes a chalal from a bu'ula, from a kohen gadol with a bu'ula, if he married her. If he was boel a bu'ula but did not marry her, so with a bias nus, then the vlad would not become a chalal. So as opposed to b'chayav elavin, even with znus, the vlad would be a chalal. Meaning bu'ula is only in isereset, ki yim besula me'am av yikach. So if he wouldn't marry her and he would only have bia with a besula, with a non-besula rather, the vlad would not be a chalal. But if he just has bia with b'chayav elavin, the vlad would be a chalal. So says the Yamshel Shlomo, now I understand that the Torah says eile in the middle of the pasuk to be mechalik all the losa says from the assay. because they have different dinim from each other. So the Eila is not coming to be mafsik in terms of which type of relationship might create a halal, but in terms of the rules of when they create a halal. That when it comes to the Los Aseis, that relationship will always create a halal. Whereas when it comes to an Asay, the relationship will only create a halal if there was an actual marriage, if he went ahead and he married her. Okay, period. Now we go on to the discussion of Tumas Kohen to his relatives. The Torah tells us, again, in next week's parasha, and Mora Lekohen and Bnei Aaron, that Lenefesh Lo Yitama Be'amo, the Kohen is not allowed to become Tame, Ki Im L'Sheira Karav Elav. He's only allowed to become Tame to the Zayin Krovin. So the sister is a unique situation, that he's not always allowed to be Metame to his sister. The Torah elaborates and says, La'achos Ha'besula Krov Elav Asher Lo Ha'isola'ish Lo Yitama, that he's only allowed to be Metame to his sister if she's not married. So what exactly are the gedarim of that? What if she has erisin but not nisuin? What if she was married, she's no longer married? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Tana Rabbanan, achoso arusa, if his sister had erisin with the man but not yet nisuin, and then she died, so is the kohen allowed to be metamiter? Ramei Rabbi Yehuda Omrim metamila, he absolutely could be metamiter, says Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, they team up. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Omrim ain metamila, that he may not be metamiter. Anusa umufuta, what if his sister was in anusa umufuta? She was with a man but not married to a man. Then divrei hakol ain metamila. Then all of the tanaim that disagree in this brisa would say that ain metamila, that he's not allowed to be metame. The Gemara is going to explain why not. Meaning she doesn't have a husband to take care of her. She's in anusa umufuta. What's the basis for such a limud that ain metamila? So muka. If his sister was a mukas eitz, she was not a basula. He's the ein metamila div Rabbi Shimon. Now notice, we previously had Ramei Rabbi Yud on one side, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon on the other side, and then we had one case where everybody agreed, all four agreed, and now we have a div Rabbi Shimon. He seems to have broken off from Rabbi Yossi about this, that it's only Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to draw attention to that later on. That's why I'm mentioning it. So Mukas 8, Ein Mitamila, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon holds that even if a woman lost her Basulim as a result of an accident, her brother, the Kohen, is not allowed to be Mitamiter when she dies. Shai Rabbi Shimon Omer, because Rabbi Shimon says that the rule is as follows: Ru'uya l'koin gadol metamila, she'ein ru'uya l'koin gadol ein metamila. If a woman is in a position where she's ra'uy to marry a kohen gadol, meaning she's a basula, then a kohen hediot, even a regular kohen brother, is allowed to be metamiter when she dies. But if she is a woman who was not ra'uy to marry a kohen gadol, then her regular kohen hediot brother is not allowed to be metamiter. Rabbi Shimon darshins exactly. Shava, by the parsha of marrying a kohen gadol, it says ki im bisula me'am av yikachisha, and by the parsha in parsha Zamor of allowing kohen hedda to be metame to his sister, it says lachoso habisula hakrove lava sholeis lo yitama. By both of them, he uses the term bisula, so he says it makes sense. I'm talking about the same person, the same type of person, someone who is a bisula that is kasher lekuna gadola is the type of bisula that a kohen hedyot is allowed to be metame to. So this is a machlo, and the other tanaim disagree, as we'll see soon. So if the woman dies, ubogeres metamila divrei kol adam. Everyone's going to agree. Divrei kol adam is an unusual phrasing, but it means all of the tanaim agree that he can be metami to ubogeres. And even Rav Meir holds that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a bogeres. Nevertheless, he allows a kohen hediot to be metame to a bogeres, and the Gemara is going to try to figure out where Rav Meir learned that from. So my time is Rav Rabbi Yehuda. But going back to the beginning of the brisa, right? We said that achoso arusa, when a woman is an arusa, Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda said metamela, that the kohen is allowed to be metame to his sister when she was be'erisin with another man. So the Gemara says, d'darshi yachi, they darshi in the pasuk about the heter of a kohen being metame to his sister as follows. Ula achosa besula, that he's allowed to be metami to his sister who's a besula. Prat la nusa mufuta, that means if she's not a besula, she was with another man and a nusa mufuta, she is not allowed to be metami to him. So yachol, he is not allowed to be metami to her. So yachol sha'ani motzi af mukas eitz, you might think that I'll exclude from the pasuk that he can't even be metami to mukas eitz because she's also not a besula. So tamalom arshalo isa le'ish, that's why the pasuk specifies only if she was lo isa le'ish. Mishav yasa al yideish, someone who became a non-besula as a result of being with a man, yatzazu, as opposed to a mukas eitz, who's not physically a basula, but it's not a result of being with a man. She'ein aviyasa al yidei ish. So the Gemara explains the hemshich of the pasuk according to Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, hakrova l'rabos harusa, a love l'rabos habageres. They darsh the word akrova to tell me that he is allowed to be metame to achoso ha'arusa. And a love we darshan to teach me l'rabos habageres, that he's allowed to be metame to his sister who is a bogeres. So, ha'lamalikra, ask the Gemara, the idea that he's allowed to be metame to achoso ha'bogeres, the very last thing that we just said, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that he can be metame to his sister who is over 12 and a half years old? V'amar Rabbi Meir, didn't Rabbi Meir say that from the pasuk, v'hu isha bivisuleha yikach, where the fact that it says bisuleha and not bisula, we darshan that it needs to be called bisuleha, and therefore the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a bogeres. That's where a mayor learnt the idea that he's not allowed to marry a bogeres. But the implication of that drasha is it's only the extra yud that tells me that includes a bogeres. So bisula, afilu mitzas bisula mashma, sounds like just the word bisula implies any amount of basulim that's left, even a mitzas basula, would be included. So that would include a bogeres as well. So over here it says lachoso habisula. It doesn't say bisuleha. There's no extra yud, extra beis, extra anything. It just says achoso habisula. So it sounds like he's allowed to be metame to anyone who has basulim kolduhu, anyone who has any amount of basulim left. So says Marno Isrich, I still need the word a love to tell me that he's allowed to be metame to a bogeres. I could not have derived it just from the fact that it says that he's allowed to be metame to a basula. Because I might have had a havamina nailif basula basula mehasam that I should make a limud through a gzeir shava. That the pasuk says he's allowed to be metame to his sister who is a basula. And in the parsha of Onus it says, and the pasuk describes a man as ma'anes of besula, and he uses the word besula in both cases. So malahalon, just like by ones, the fact that you have to pay her kanas is only if it's a nara, because it said that explicitly in the pasuk that ki matzayish nara besula. So just like over there by the parsha of ones, it's explicit that it's only a nara. So afkan, I might think by the head to be matami to your sister afkanami nara, that it's only a nara. Kamashmullah, and that's why the pasuk says a love to tell me that no, that even if the sister is a bogeres, a kohen is allowed to be metame to his sister, the bogeres. So what about those who disagree? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Maitai Mayu. So Darshi Yafi, they darshan in the pasuk as follows. Ula achoso habasula, that tells me that it can be metame only to his sister who is a basula. That immediately excludes prat la nusa mufutas umufutu mukaseit. That right away knocks out that he's not allowed to be metame to his sister who is an anusa or who is a mufuta or is a mukaseit because she's not a basula. So that last din about mukaseit, they disagree with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that according to them, you can't be metame to her because she's not physically a basula. Asher lo haisa prat la rusa. And from the fact that it says Asher Lo Haisa tells me that he's not allowed to be metame to his sisters in Arusa, which again is in disagreement with Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. They said he is allowed to be metame to his sisters in Arusa. Hakrova l'rabos Arusha shenizgarsha. And Hakrova tells me, yeah, but if she had Erisin and then got divorced and then died, so since at the time she died, she didn't have Erisin with anybody, she no longer had Erisin with her husband, so you are allowed to be metame her. And then Elov, the rabbis is a bogeres. And Elov tells me that he's allowed to be metame to a bogeres. So the Gemara asks, how can you say that Rabbi Shimon darshens the word hakrova l'rabos arusha shenizgarsha, that hakrova comes to be marbe, that he's allowed to be metame to an arusa shenizgarsha, to his sister who was an arusa that he has since been divorced from? V'hamar Rabbi Shimon ru'i l'koyin gadol metame l'sheinu l'koyin gadol ein metame la. After all, didn't Rabbi Shimon teach in the Braisa that only a sister is only the sister of the koyin gadol who is ro'i to a koyin gadol he could be metame to, but if she is not ro'i to marry a koyin gadol, then the brother koyin gadol is not allowed to be metame to her. So how could it be that Rabbi Shimon is marba, that he's allowed to be metame to his sister who is an arusa shenizgarsha? An arusa shenizgarsha is absolutely not mutter to a kohen gadol. She's a grusha. So by the rules that Rabbi Shimon lays out for us, there's no way the kohen gadol should be allowed to be metame to her. She's a grusha. So shiny Yasim to Rabbi Rachmana Krova. No, but you're right, it doesn't follow the klal, but there's a pasuk to tell me that this is an exception to the klal. The pasuk says Krova, since the Torah is Marba HaKrova, that tells me that the brother of the Kohen is allowed to be Matamitur because she's Krova to him. If that's the case, Mukaseitz Nami Rabbi, so why aren't we Marba Mukaseitz also? Mukaseitz is not Royal Kohen Gadol, but why don't we darshan from HaKrova that he should be allowed to be Matami to Mukaseitz as well? So says Gemara, HaKrova Achas Vloshtayim. Krova sounds like it could only be marba one extra relationship, not two. Meaning the klal is still a klal. There happens to be a yotzei min a klal, but there's only one yotzei min a klal. The klal is still true. If a woman is kosher l'kohen gadol, then her brother the kohen eder is allowed to be matamit her when she dies. She's not kosher l'kohen gadol, the brother the kohen eder cannot be matamit her when she dies. And there's a yotzei min a klal, and that is about a grusha from erusin. And we don't have two yotzei min a klal about a mukaseitz as well. Well, Mukaseitz is not a yotzei min haklal, but Umari Issa, once you know that there's one drasha to have one yotzei min haklal, what made us choose the grusha min ha'erusin as the yotzei min haklal and not the Mukaseitz as the yotzei min haklal? Meaning, why not say that the Kohen is allowed to be metame to the Mukaseitz and he's not allowed to be metame to the grusha? Why do we reverse that? So says Mara, ha yisavu b'maisa, ha lo yisavu b'maisa. Very simply, in Mukaseitz, there was a physical maisa that was done to her that made her a Mukaseitz. Whereas the sister who was Niskarsha, nothing physical happened to her body. She went through halachic changes of having a chalos of kiddushin and then having a chalos of a grusha. So I'd rather say that when the Torah is being marba from Hakrova, that he's allowed to be metamiter, it's someone who did not go through some sort of physical change. And that's why it's the grusha. Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi means Shavke Labar Zuge, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi abandons his partner in Shita, it was Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. The beginning of the Brisa said that Achos Arusa, Ramei Rabbi Yuda say that you are allowed to be Matami too. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon team up and say you're not allowed to be Matami. And then in the Hemshech of the Brisa, when it talks about Mukaseitz, it only mentions that Rabbi Shimon holds Eino Matami La. It does not say Rabbi Yossi anymore. So Machal, the Mukaseitz Krameris Vile, must be that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Meir about the Mukaseitz, that a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be Metame to his sister who's a Mukaseitz, not like Rabbi Shimon, that he's not allowed to. So Minale, where does Rabbi Yossi learn that din, that he holds that the Kohen is allowed to be Metame to his sister who's a Mukaseitz? So it says more, Rabbi Yossi learns it, Milo Haisal Ish. From the fact that the Pasuk says, La'chos ha'basula ha'krov e'lov asher lo haisal ish, that's who lo yitama, that's who he can be mitami to. So it sounds like only to a sister who was never bikidushin with another man, like Rabbi Meir Darshan. And the Mukaseitz who never had havias al yidei ish. She was never with another man. She would never the fact that she's not a basula is not a function of another human being, and therefore he's allowed to be metamiter. So frankly, Mar, but wait, vaha apikde. Rabbi Yossi already learned something from those words to exclude an arusa that he's not allowed to be metamiter to an arusa. How can he double dip? How can he use those same words to teach us about a Mukaseitz? So chad lo haisa mi lo haisa v'chad mi le ish. There are two drushes to be made because there are two words, one from lo haisa and the other one from le'ish. And a love, now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Shimon's drasha, where he said, a love, l'rabos habogeres. That a love tells me that a Kohen is allowed to be metame to his sister, the bogeres. Va'am Rabbi Shimon, besul shleva mashma. But didn't Rabbi Shimon say that besula implies where complete besulim are intact, and that's not a bogeres? So over here where it says, la'chos ha'besula, it means that it could be metame dafka to a sister who has full besulim intact. So how can you dash from a love that it can be metami to a bogeres? She does not have full besulim intact. So time with the nami. The reason Rabbi Shimon is also hasa me'acha, that over there from besula means besula shlema. We learn it from the parsha over here of the heter of a coming to be metami to a sister. The darashachi he darshens as follows: mida elav l'rabos habogeres. From the very fact that the Torah needs an extra word of elav to tell me that a kohen is allowed to be metami to a bogeres, sounds like mechlal the besula besula shleima mashma. Sounds like from the word besula, I would not have known that he's allowed to be metami to a bogeres because a besula would only give him a heter to be metami to a besula shleima. So that's how I know that besula means besula shleima, from the very fact that I need the word love to tell me that he's allowed to be metame to a bogeres. Period. Now the Gemara moves on to a different discussion. There is a halacha, again in next week's parsha, that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Zona. Like we said, Isha Zona v'chalal lo yikachu. So because of that Isser, a Kohen is also not allowed to marry a Giyores. The Mishnah is going to say in tomorrow's daf that ein zona ela giyores u'mashukreres. So there's machlokes Rav Shimon Lechavim. What about a giyores that we're about to learn? What about a giyores that's in a skyer when she's less than 3 years old? Is the kohen allowed to marry her? Because before she was niskayra, there could not have been a bia that was halachically defined as a bia. Because even if she was nivela, the besulim is going to be chosrim. So Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yechai Omer, giyores p'chusim v'ashol shon yomecher. If you have a giyores that's less than 3 years old, she's allowed to marry a Kohen, even the Kohen Gadol. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Moshe says to the people who are fighting the Melchemes Midian, v'kol hataf banashim ha-shalayod u'mishkav zachar ha-chayulachem. So Rabbi Shimon holds ha-chayulachem means that you're allowed to marry them. It doesn't just mean leave them alive. It means you're allowed to marry them. So the Gemara explains the Raya. V'arei Pinchas was a Kohen. V'arei Pinchas imayim. He was also a warrior. He was going out to Melchemes Midian. It says, Osam v'es Pinchas ben Elazar ha-Kohen. It's beferish in the Pasuk. So this whole speech that Moshe Rabbeinu was given to Pinchas as well. And he says, Lachem, that you're allowed to marry these young girls that are less than 3 years old. So you see that a Giyoros, Pchus, Mashal, Shom, Yom Echad, is Kasha Lekuna, V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who disagree, they say, no, it doesn't say marry them. It says that you can keep them alive. Hachayulachem, that means Lavadim L'Shvachos. It means Lachem, they're yours, but take them as Avadim and Shvachos. Ihachi, if Rabbi Shimon learns from this pasuk that a Giyoros is Kasha Lekuna, why is it only less than 3 years old? Mashal, Shom, Yom Echad, Nami, even if she's more than 3 years old, we should look from the pasuk. It says, Kala tafa nashma shaliyadu mishkav zachar, hachiyulachem, that any woman who has not had bia with a man, hachiyulachem. So Rabbi Shimon says, that means you're allowed to marry them. Where does it say 3 years old? It just says someone who hasn't been with a man. So it says, Amara, kid Rav Huna, that it must be that more than 3 years old is problematic because of what Rav Huna taught based on the stira in Pesukim. Rav Huna Rami, Rav Huna asked the following stira. Ksiv, on the one hand, the pasuk says, Kol isha yoda'as ish l'mishkav zachar harogu. So isha sounds like a gedola, and that's what the Torah says. If she was yoda'as ish, she was with a man, harogu, ha eina yoda'as, but it sounds like if she was never with a man, she was never nevelas l'ish, kaimu, so then you're allowed to keep her alive. So mechal da'ataf, bein yadu bein lo yadu kaimu. Sounds like a young woman, a child, whether she's yadu or lo yadu, whether she was with a man or not, you're allowed to leave her alive. Uksiv, and the pasuk also says, v'kal ha'taf banashim ha'shal lo yadu mishkav zachar, hachiyulachem, that you could leave the taf alive only if they were lo yadu mishkav zachar. Hayadi arogu, but it sounds like if they were with a man, then arogu, so it's a steer in the pasuk. From the first pasuk, it sounds like you're allowed to keep the taf, even if nivalu. Whereas the second pasuk says, no, you're only allowed to keep the taf that were not nivalu, not the ones that were nivalu. So how are we miyashim the stira? Havei omer, you have to say that the pasuk when it talks about nivalu doesn't mean that she actually had bia. It's about whether she was ra'ui to have bia. The pasuk says, "Kalisha yadas ish mishkav zachar arogu," means any woman who's ra'ui to be as ish, even a katana that's more than bashal shalvi yamechad, you have to kill her. And even if she was not nivelas, and the pasuk called a taf nashma shalo yadu mishkav zachar achiyulachem, that's referring to a taf that's not ra'ui lebia. Tanya nami hachi, "Kalisha yadas ish." Pasuk says, "Kalisha yadas ish beruui libal lakasam medaber." Satam beruui. How do you know it means ru'i libal and not actual biyasik shomer chalatav panashim shaliyadu mishkav zachar? Haviyomer ru'i libal hakasam medaber from the fact that it says taf that didn't know ish that it's efshal achios. So because of that stira, it has to be talking about ru'i libal. So minayati, how do you know who's considered ru'i libal that you have to kill and who's not ru'i libal? So Amar Avuna Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, ha'avirim lefnei atzitz. They would bring them in front of the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. If her face would turn a greenish complexion, then you know that she's 3 years old. If her face would not turn a greenish complexion, we know she's not yet 3 years old. A simon for over avera that they become sick with the disease of hidroken, which is some sort of jaundice that their face turns colors. Similarly, when it comes to the bnos yavesh gilah, Gilad, after the Mice of Pilegish Begiv, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, it says, Vayimtsu Miyoshe Yavish Gilad, Arba Meos Nara Besula, Sholo Yida Ish, Limishkav Zachar, that they found 400 women who were never with a man, never slept with a man, and those are the ones that they gave to the Bnei Binyamin to marry. So Minayadi, how did they know who had and had not been with a man? So Amrav Kana, Hoshivim Api Chavish Al Yayin, they would stand them up over a barrel of wine. Bu'ula Recha Nodef. If she was a Bu'ula, the aroma of the wine would come out through her mouth. Besula Ein Recha Nodef. If she was a Besula, it would not come out through her mouth. I don't know of any scientific explanation of this test, but that's what the Gemara says they did. V'na Brinul V'nei Tzitz. But if they had another test that they could pass her in front of the Tzitz, why didn't they just do that? So Rav Kana Brei Rav Nassan, L'Rotzen L'Emksiv, L'Rotzen V'lo L'Peronis. That the Tzitz is meant to function, L'Rotzen L'Emlefei Hashem. The Tzitz is meant for positive things, for Divrei Rit. Not for Peronis. And therefore, they couldn't be bodik these women, all day at Tzitz, because the Tzitz would therefore cause Misa and Peronis. Ihafi b'minyanami, so b'minyan also, they shouldn't have used the Tzitz, not to cause Peronis, to kill the women who were Ru'i Labia. So Ravashi, Lahem Ksiv, Lahem L'Ratzim V'Lal Peronis, L'Avdi Chavim, Afi L'Peronis. No, in that case, we're dealing with Avdi Chavim. The Tzitz can function as Peronis for Avdi Chavim, it's just not supposed to be functioning as Peronis for Yisrael. So that's why by Yavish Gilad they didn't use the tzitz, but whereas by Midian they did use the tzitz. Okay, we're a little bit behind, but tomorrow we'll pick up on Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi and Rabbi Shur Ben Levi.
Thank you. Have a great day.